So today I wanted to talk about, you know what it is that's already in the bulletin. I want to talk about, why do we study the Bible? Why do we study the Bible? Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? And so what do I hope to accomplish today with this message? What am I hoping to gain? Well, today my purpose is this. I would like to motivate all of us to fall in love with God's Word and fall in love with studying God's Word. I know many of us have studied this Word for 50, 60, 70 years. And I hope that in our study that we still love it as much as we did when we first started. You know, that first love that we had. And I believe we all need that. And it's so important and so vital for us to love God's Word and love studying His Word. And so I hope to encourage and motivate all of us to basically do this, to refocus our priorities, to remind us that we need to put first things first and that we need to remember what is the priority and what would that be? What would be the number one priority in our lives? Well, I believe it's getting to know God better, having a better relationship with Him in everything that we do, getting to know how He thinks, getting to know how He does things, how He accomplishes things, and that we come to understand His Word and recognize that this book, this wonderful book, this precious book that is such a gift to us, is the mind of God. And in it, He teaches us what He wants from us and what He is looking for. And so I hope to convince all of you today that we have to just fall in love with this book. We just have to fall in love with studying it. So, but before we get going on that, I thought it would be best. I'd like to know who the biblical scholars are, first of all, in the room. So, if you're a biblical scholar, raise your hand, or if you're not, don't. But, so here are some questions for the biblical scholars to begin with. First of all, we have to do this. For all you biblical scholars, is that hanging down too low? Sorry. Here, let me get it straight. A little bit better. So why didn't Noah swat the mosquitoes? So, question for you. Biblical scholars will know the answer to that, but here we go. So, can you tell me in the Bible where the first tennis match is mentioned? Well, it's when Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. We all know that, right? Well, do you know which Bible character it is that had no parents? Yeah, Joshua, the son of Nun, of course, exactly. And do you know where we find Bible? What book of the Bible we find baseball in? Genesis, in the big inning. Yes, that's right. That's correct. And so tell me what kind of man Boaz was before he married, you know? Actually, he was ruthless. What is one of the first things that Adam and Eve did after getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden? Anybody know? Well, they raised Cain. Can you tell me what excuse Adam gave to his children as to why they no longer lived in the Garden of Eden? Well, he said to them, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." And can you tell me who the first midget was in the Bible? Bildad the Shuhite. Okay, well, some of you have heard that one before. All right, so then, for all you other biblical scholars, why didn't Noah swat the mosquitoes? Anybody know? Well, I have several answers here, okay? So this is this is for our humor. And the first one is, why didn't Noah swat the mosquitoes? Why pick on the little guys? And another answer is, for the same reason he didn't swat the two flies. And you might say, for the same reason he didn't stomp on the two fire ants. And then, of course, you know, some really like to get expressive about it, because the chicken wanted to get on the other side to see how fast the mosquitoes could fly. And then you always have the intelligent ones that want to really give the explanation. Well, in the first place, the mosquitoes were not invited on the ark. They just happened to be hanging around at the water level. And there were not two of them, but 11. And they stayed below decks, biting the two goats and the two lemurs and the two sheep and the two rabbits and the two bison and the two cattle. Of course, I got that wrong. There's seven of some of those, right? And the two onyx and the two ponies, the two. Well, you can fill in the rest. And they never had any reason to go above deck to bite Noah and his family, so there was no need for swatting. But isn't it fun to study the Bible? And we can make jokes, and I love the jokes, and I love the humor that we can have. And that is, by the way, those six or seven that we were talking about. That's just a few of the hundreds that can be found there. But let's get a little serious about this, and let's really talk about why it is that we study God's Word. Why is it that we study the Bible? I'll tell you what, our world, the world we live in, is so full of entertainment opportunities and things which, if we're not careful, can really consume our time, you know, and distract us, frankly, from what's really, really important. There's sporting events, there's shopping, there's computers, there's cell phones, there's exercising, outdoor activities, camping, and many other things that if we weren't careful, could consume all of our time, right? I mean, if we really aren't diligent about this and have forethought about it, we could be totally distracted. And, of course, there's Netflix and Amazon Prime, where you can binge-watch your favorite shows, like I've done here recently, watching a couple of, you know, series that I really, really liked. And, yes, there's many distractions that can take us away from studying God's Word. So, I guess the question is, for each of us, how important is it for each of us, individually, ask yourself this, to study God's Word? How important is it to get to know this book? And remind us that this book contains the mind of God. It is His instruction book. It is His guidebook. If you want to know what it is that we follow that gives us direction in life, right here. All of the things that are written in this book. And I hope we can appreciate that. And I hope that motivates us. I hope that we recognize that we're holding a precious gift in our hands. You got a precious gift in your laps when you are looking at God's Word. It's a treasure chest of knowledge. It's a book that holds incredible, vital information that God wants us to know. And He wants us to know this. He's given it to us so that we can learn from it. And it is truly, truly a gift. And this is what I believe about the Bible. I believe, I've got several statements here. I believe that the Bible is infallible in its totality. Some doubt the Bible. I don't. I believe it's infallible. It's infallible in its purpose for what God intended and what God gave. It is, you know, to quote the expression, the Bible is God-breathed. God-breathed information. You have to be careful not to get taken sidetracked because of translations and things that might be added in there that weren't necessarily in the original. But I'm here to tell you, even if there are things added or if there are those, and by the way, the Wynn Skelton version of the Bible is the KJV. But there's others that may like the NKJV or the NASB or, you know, all the other versions. But, you know, we do have to be a little bit careful about this because guess what? They're all translations. But I'm here to say the translation that we have is God-breathed because it contains all of the words that God gave us, and it's infallible. And we'll read that. We'll read a couple of scriptures that talk about that. I believe that the Bible is without error, that it is free from error in all that it affirms. That's what I believe. I believe it's complete. I believe it contains all the information we need to live as Christians, and that it provides us with certain assurances, such as salvation, forgiveness of sins, that we have a Savior. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. It contains all that. It contains the promises of eternal life. Nothing better than that. And it contains those things that teach us how to love God and love our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible is also this. The Bible is, tell me if you agree with this, is authoritative. You agree with that? The Bible is authoritative. And what the Bible says is final. You know, it's the final word. And it carries with it, this is interesting to me, the Bible carries with it the right, notice this, the right to prescribe things to us. The right to prescribe what we should do, what we should believe, and how we should live. I know of no other book that does that, that has that authority, that teaches us those things. And it has that kind of assurance, and it is that authoritative, tells us how to live, what we should believe, and how we should conduct ourselves, and what our actions should be. And there's no other book, like I said, like this. Whoops, all my props are falling down. And I do also believe that the Bible is totally sufficient for all our spiritual needs. It's totally sufficient. If we were on a desert island without computers, without concordances, without commentaries, would we have enough for eternal life to understand God and what it is that He is calling us and giving us? Would we have enough? Absolutely. We don't need anything else. This is complete. It's authoritative. I'm not saying that commentaries and other sources don't give us some good information, but I'm just saying, this is God-breathed. This is what God gave us. And I love it. And it accomplishes everything that it promises. And God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever He promises, He will fulfill. We can read that to the promises that He gave the children of Israel back in Joshua. We read that in James chapter 1. We read that, you know, throughout the Bible. Malachi chapter 3, He says He doesn't change. He is just that way. And I believe that we should esteem and hold this book with the utmost respect and admiration and love it and love opening it up and love spending time. In fact, it would be so good if we all were caught doing nothing else but studying. I know we can't do that, but I mean that we'd love it that much, that we would study that much. And what about that? You know, where are we with that? And do we love God's Word enough to be doing that? We read something over here in Isaiah chapter 66, I'll just mention this because this really, to me, stands out and gives me, gives the heart and the concept of how we should view God's Word. In Isaah 66, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Thus says the Eternal, the heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool, and where is the house that you will build unto me?" And we know that there isn't a house that can be built that, or a temple that could contain God. "Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" Well, we know that answer. We know where that is. He says, "For all these things has my hand made, and all those things have been," says the Eternal, "but to this man will I look." Whoa, that gets my attention. "But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor, which is humble, and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Is that the way we view God's word? And, you know, what does the word tremble mean? Does that mean that we're terrified? What does the word tremble mean to you? Go ahead, tell me. It's respect, right? We respect it. We tremble because we're in awe of God's word. And we tremble at it because we respect and realize these are the God-breathed instructions from our Heavenly Father to us. And it says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. And I certainly believe that is probably the mindset that I hope I'm in every time I open God's word, with utmost respect and awe, and realizing that I have so much to learn and so much to gain. And we all are learning that proper respect, aren't we? We're all learning what that is, and having that, and having the proper awe for God. Not that we're afraid of Him in terror. We are in respect of Him. He doesn't want us terrified of Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants to communicate with us. And He has set a way that He can communicate, that we have that back and forth. Prayer is our communication. He communicates with us through His Spirit and through this, through the Word of God, so that we understand His thoughts, His ways, and that He has called us to grow in grace and in knowledge, and to grow to become like He is. I know there's many different ways to approach studying the Bible. We're going to talk about some of those today. There isn't a section of Scripture that you can read in the Bible that is without value. It's all valuable and has great meaning and great purpose. It is wonderful to study the Word of God. As I say, it's the Word of God written down for us. And if we are, frankly, if we as His children are going to begin to think like He does, how are we going to do that? By studying the Word. That's right. That's how it is. We do that by studying His Word. And that requires that we read, that we study, and that we meditate, and that we dwell on, and that we research, and that we find the instruction and the direction that He has for us in our lives. And it's amazing. You know, Genesis says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And He has given us that means through studying His Word, through His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not neglecting the fact that salvation is a gift and that, you know, eternal life is a gift from God. But we have been given the method where we can be like God and attain into certain knowledge. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 11 because I want this clearly stated right out front. I don't believe that in my study of God's Word and in my study of the Bible that I'm going to know everything about God. Because Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth and riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I believe that about our God. You can't search and figure out everything there is to know about God. But He has given us the information that He wants us to have about Him right here. And I eventually want to know as much as I can about God. You know, when we're spirit beings, I want to know more. I want to know more about how He does things. I want to know more about the angelic world. I want to know more about how He creates things and how He is the one that is ever present everywhere. You know, I want to know about that. For who has known the mind of the Eternal? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Our God is so awesome and so great. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So I recognize that there are certain things that I'm never going to know in this life. There are certain things that are greater than I can comprehend. There's a lot of things. Just saying. But I am so appreciative and thankful that we have this Bible to grow and come to understand all of what He has given us to understand. So the question then becomes obvious, doesn't it? How are we doing with that? And what kind of a study plan do we have? What are we doing to familiarize ourselves with this book and the things that we can learn from the pages of this book? I will refer to this because I do think this is quite important, that God will never force any of us to study. You know, studying is of our own free will. Terry and I were talking about this last week. God never forces us to study. And Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." There is something there for us to attain and gain that He never forces us to. So how much do we hunger and thirst after that righteousness? I have a math equation that I want to throw out here. I'm not a mathematician, by the way. But here is my math equation. It is this: the value we place on becoming like God equals the time we spend in His Word. I'm going to repeat that. The value we place on becoming like God equals the time we spend in His Word. And you can say, and in prayer, and in our relationship with Him. And that isn't said to make anybody feel bad, okay? Because we all are sometimes more motivated than other times, aren't we? Have you ever had those times in your life when you're just really motivated to study, and then, you know, you have periods of time when you aren't? Well, I encourage all of us to work towards being more motivated all the time and not let those periods of time go by. Can you imagine failing the final exam? I don't want to. And the final exam is, you know, how much am I growing in the nature and character of God? What if I fail? We have to become like Him. I mean, that is why He gives us this book. That is why He gives us the opportunity, and He gives us a lifetime to come to know Him. I love God for that. He gives us a lifetime. And it isn't something we accomplish overnight. And it's ever learning. I was given my first Bible at age 7. And I've had many Bibles since. I have had the blessing of being able to study God's Word from my youth. And I know many of you have too as well. I tell you, there are times I didn't appreciate it very much. Carnality, teenage years, you know, things come in that you think are more important, but they're not. They're not really. But a lifetime, He gives us a lifetime to come to know Him and to study His Word. And what is the goal? Over here, we find it in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read 11 through probably verse 16. And I'll read it, and then let's talk about it a little bit. It says in verse 11, He says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry." That's the KJV version of it. You know, that is, I think the New King James says equipping the saints. Talks about equipping the saints. That's our job in the ministry. It's frankly all of our job to help each other be equipped in the things of God and offer opportunities whereby we can exercise those things. But, you know, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, notice this, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And I say we're not there yet. We're highly divided in many things. We have many different views of things. Now, just so you don't misunderstand this, this isn't saying that the only way we learn is because you have ministry. We learn by our individual study of God's Word. We learn by our individual study. Yes, I do know that I've learned so much through preaching all my life. You know, from those that I grew up listening to, I learned so much. But I learned too by studying God's Word, and it is that valuable. I don't know where you place the value on that equally or not, but there is responsibility upon me individually and upon each of us individually to get into God's Word and study, because we have yet come to the unity of the faith and we have yet to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. We don't fully understand and comprehend Him as we should. And of the Son of God and unto a perfect man. We're not there. Unto the mate, and here is the goal, that we study and that we are in God's Word and that we comprehend and learn and that we grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is the goal, to be like Christ. Now, how are we going to do that if we're not studying? How are we going to do that if we're not applying the principles of God in our lives? How are we going to do that if we don't know? Well, I'm just saying we can't. And it is so incredible that He gives us His Word. It's beautiful. And it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I don't want to be that way. You know, I want to be solidified in the things of God. It's only going to come through, you know, through understanding His Word, studying His Word, comprehending what He's trying to say to me, hard-headed me. By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you, but speaking in truth and love. This is why I hope we fall in love with studying the Bible, because of this statement, that we may grow up into Him in all things. That we grow up, that we mature, that we come to understand, His way of thinking, that we come to live our lives, that we walk out of here and everything that we do is based on that we're growing up in Him in all things. It's a challenge, I know. It's a challenge for us daily. But what a blessing that God gives us so much here. Which is talking about, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Again, further affirmation that we grow to be like Him. I want to be like you, Daddy. All little sons say that. All little daughters say, I want to be like you, Mommy. And how beautiful it is that we want to be like our Daddy in heaven. And it says, from whence the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There are outflows of the study that we do. And it's this. Each has a part to play. Each has something to offer. And that we grow to as a body and increase to the point of edifying itself in love, that we love each other and that we love all of what God is doing and all those that God is doing things with. So with that in mind, when was the last time you read through this book? When was the last time you read from Genesis to Revelation? So I'm just asking questions here, okay? When was the last time you studied the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, what are the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When was the last time you looked up a specific topic? Because what I'm talking about here, these are different methods and ways that we can study the Bible. When was the last time you looked up a topic and then looked up all the scriptures relating to it and found out what God says in His Word? Don't go to a concordance and don't go to, you know, that. Just read what the Word of God says first. And do you have a plan for educating yourself in the Word of God? Do you have a plan? There are plans that are out there. Do you have a plan for educating your children in the Word of God? You know, so where do you find the Ten Commandments? What books? Yeah, Exodus 20 and... Okay, see, that's good. It's good that we know that, right? It's good that we know all 66 books of the Bible, right? Do we know them in order? Can you say them in order without looking? What about reciting the Ten Commandments in the long version? Like I used to have to do as a kid. My brother and I had shared the room, and he had his bed and I had my bed, and hanging between us was a huge, floor to ceiling, written out Ten Commandments. It was a scroll that rolled down, and then you roll it up, down. Every Sabbath, Dad would say, "Okay, boys, I want to hear the Ten Commandments in order, long form," and we'd have to repeat them. We'd have to repeat them to him. So, you know, do we know the books of the Bible? Do you have a plan to study the Bible? We have a booklet, How to Study the Bible. Have you read it? I suggest, I recommend it. It's really good. At the back of it, it has something that I just love. It has daily Bible reading schedule. And you can check it off for 365 days. And if you, follow a plan, in a year, you will have read the whole Bible. Here you go. There's some copies. And if you want to know how to study the Bible, here's some books. It'll give some good ideas. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this when he was tempted of the devil. Remember this? He was taken up on a far mountain. He was tempted. And let's read it, Matthew 4. I just love this section of Scripture. When the tempter came to him, verse 3 said to him, If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Isn't it interesting that he always referred in his temptation back to the Bible? Back to the Bible. This isn't every word, by the way. This is the word we have. There's more to every word. But what we have is the words he's given us. And to me, then, it's every word that I have from him. Every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how much Christ valued and put value on his word. And I hope that we will do the same thing. Paul, when he was instructing Timothy, he mentions this over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's lots of scriptures. We're not going to get through very many. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning here in verse 12, and we'll read through the end of the chapter here, 12 through verse 17, it says, "Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's a fact of life. It's the way it is. All who live godly will suffer. Persecution. Rejection, ridicule. I remember being ridiculed in high school by my teachers when I was, I'd say, hey, listen, we're getting ready to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And in those days, I needed one of those forms, those excuse forms. We didn't have them. At least I didn't get one. I'm going to be going to the Feast of Tabernacles. What is the Feast of Tabernacles? And I need my homework. And ahead of time. And so they would give those things, they would give me those assignments. But boy, it was always with ridicule. By the time I got to be a senior, we had them pretty well trained. They knew I was going to the feast. So that was good. But there was ridicule that went along with it. So all that live godly will suffer persecution. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The thing that's really bad about that is when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse, they take prominence, and we as Christians in the Word of God starts taking the back seat. I don't like that. But it's the way it is sometimes. But we don't have to be that way individually. We don't have to give into that to the seducers and to the evil. But continue you in the things which you have learned. Oh, you know, I look at Benny back there. Benny, there's a lot of things you've learned over the years, haven't you, in the church of God. And you know, continue you in the things which you've learned and that you have been assured of. Assured of, meaning we have confidence in it. Knowing of whom you have learned them. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. And this was Paul talking to Timothy, who was a young man. You know, his mother, when he was young, he was a believer. His mother was a believer, and he grew up in that environment. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. And we know that Paul knew them, right, as a child. He was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew all of those things. But you have known the Holy Scriptures. Notice this. Known the Holy Scriptures from a child, which, and this is the value of God's Word, what we're about to read here. This is the value of God's Word, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I believe when we start studying the Word of God and we start learning these principles, we can say to ourselves, as I learn these things, I'm becoming wise because I'm coming to understand how God thinks. That is the wisdom. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And then verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say part of some. It says all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for, there's four things mentioned here. Let's read them. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Have we ever divided up our study and to that kind of in that kind of a mindset? Well, what would it mean to that it's profitable unto doctrine? Well, here's some doctrine. It's called statement of beliefs. That's doctrine. It's the things we believe. It's what doctrine is. It's also what is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Christ had doctrine. He taught doctrine. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again, and here are the basic doctrines, the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's a doctrine. Of faith toward God. That's a doctrine. The doctrine of baptisms. That's a doctrine. Baptism. Something we believe firmly. Something that we recognize. Of laying on of hands for anointing and for receiving the Holy Spirit. And we know there's nothing in our hands when we lay hands on people for anointing or when we lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. It's not us that is doing that, is it? That is what God tells us to do because it in recognition that He is the one giving the Holy Spirit. But it is the way that He says for us to do it. And of the resurrection of the dead. I love that doctrine. Because I want to be resurrected. I want eternal life. I want that promise. All those things that are written. And of eternal judgment. That's an interesting subject. Because there evil will be eternally judged. You know that? It won't be around anymore. It'll be gone. It will have received its sentence. And judgment will be over for it. So, you know, we have for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Back to Timothy here. We finished the thought. That the man of God, verse 17, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, if we recognize then that what the Bible does is give us that opportunity, doesn't that encourage us and excite us to want to be studying in His Word and to be involved in in that. The Word of God is complete. It does not need to have any other verses or chapters added to it. It is what it is. All you need is God's Word and His Holy Spirit to comprehend and understand. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says that every word of God is pure. I believe that. It also says in that chapter that He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. One of the most valuable things that we learn in studying the Bible is that we learn to trust in God and we learn to recognize how He thinks. And we learn to have the faith to follow what He says. John 10 and verse 35, again, I'm just going to reference it, says that the Scripture cannot be broken. What God has given is perfect. And what He has given, it won't be broken. And He will fulfill every promise that's given to us. So, the value of God's Word is, it educates us. And I hope we all end up being PhDs in the Word of God. And it also gives us wisdom. Not our wisdom, but it gives us His wisdom. And we see His wisdom in the Word of God. It shows us a path. It gives us a direction. And it helps us to be in line with God. That's why I love studying God's Word. God's Word is fantastic. And as I've said before, it is totally authoritative, His Word. And it is the only source of absolute divine authority, is His Word. And it's for you and for me. And He gave it to us. Man, how wonderful that is. We're told in James chapter 1, let's read this quickly. My time is quickly gone. James chapter 1. Verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." Oh, that is such good advice. I need to heed it more. Slow to speak. Swift to hear. Slow to wrath. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," verse 21, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word," notice this, "which is able to save your souls." I'll tell you what, I love God's Word. I love what it does for us. I love why God has given it to us so that we can be saved. See, we can go through and we can memorize everything from Genesis to Revelation. But if it hasn't affected our soul and our heart and changed us to be like God, what good has it been? That is the value of God's Word. That we learn to be like Him. That we think like Him. That we have our souls saved. It is the means. It is the way. And, you know, Acts chapter 17 says we're supposed to be like the Bereans. Right? Who search the Scriptures how often? Daily. Whether these things be so. And they prove them. And they affirm them. That's why I study. I don't study the Bible to disprove it. I study it to reinforce what I believe. I study it to gain more information and knowledge about what I have learned. So, when was the last time we studied the Gospels? When was the last time we read the Bible? What plan do you have? I hope we'll adopt some kind of a daily Bible reading, you know, schedule. It's interesting, too, because, you know, this also has a topical color guide for marking your Bible. I like my Bible like a coloring book, okay? All marked up. I should have brought it. I've got an old King James Version where the pages are just falling out. That's good. That's good. You know why? Because we've been using it. We've been studying it. It should be marked up. It should be all marked up in every way. And torn apart. And digested. And eaten. And that we would love doing every minute of that. We're told in Timothy that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Unto who? Unto God. That's why we study. I hope we will become more motivated to spend time in God's Word, knowing that we want to be approved of God and that we want Him to say, that's my kid, that's my son, that's my daughter. They love me. They love my Word. In Deuteronomy and also in Deuteronomy 4 and in Revelation 22, there's a warning given to us about adding to and taking away, you know, from the Word of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 4, he says, our wisdom, your wisdom to the children of Israel before the nations is the laws and the statutes and the judgments. It's our wisdom. It's our wonderful understanding of the things of God. And it's wonderful and it's great. And I could give you a whole lot of other verses. But you know, there are benefits. I'll just end here. There are benefits to knowing God's Word. It is the only source of divine revelation and power that can sustain us, God's Word. The Bible is the source of all truth. You want to find truth? Where do you go? Right here. Do you want to find God's blessings? Where do you go? Right here. Blessed are those that hear His Word and keep it. That's what He says in Luke chapter 11. We're told that it's the way we grow. As newborn babes, desire, you know, that we desire the Word of God, the pure Word, that we may grow thereby. It is the power of God unto salvation. And it is our guidance. It is the lamp to our feet. There's a song about that. Thy Word. Oh yeah, there is a song about that. And a light to our path. So, I believe this, that this book that I hold in my hand is the best gift I could have ever been given. And I hope that you will feel the same way. That the words of God will motivate you so much to love God and to study His Word that we recognize the promise of eternal life and all the good things that God has for us. And so, let's fall in love with this book. Let's fall in love with studying it. Let's come up with a study plan. Let's study it every day. Let's not be neglectful, because none of us want to fail the final exam.